This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. We're answering your questions. You can send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And I'll also take the time to remind you that Layla Mudin is a registered dietitian. She's on our staff at the Hoffman Center, and she has earned an advanced master's degree in the field of nutrition, and she's there to help you should you choose to become a patient of the Hoffman Center. And a couple of ways you can become a patient. One is to see us both as part of a general medical workup. But if you like your doctor and you want to keep your doctor, as was once said, you can become a patient exclusively of Layla. It's a more economical route into the Hoffman Center. You'll get the benefits of the same nutritional and health philosophy that we both embrace. And you can also conduct your consultations via phone. So check out drhoffman.com to find out how you can become a patient of the Hoffman Center or become a patient of Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin. All right, that being said, Layla, let's tackle our next question.
Okay, this is an email from Michael. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, isn't it true that a person never gets the amount of supplement as is listed on the labeling, even if it's accurate, because what's bioavailable is going to depend? And there's a doctor, there's an alternative MD who also has a radio show, insists that before anyone takes any supplements, they should be tested to indicate how much is in their system and then tested after commencing supplementation. I'd be pleased to hear your reactions to this.
Okay.
We kind of do that.
Yeah, we do that. That's sort of what we do.
Vitamin D, magnesium,
sure.
Calcium,
yep.
DHEA, I'm just, you know, iron, B12, all of that kind of thing. I mean, that kind of tells us, yeah.
So it is true that nutrients are only partially bioavailable. So, for example, when you take calcium, it's estimated that on average only 1/7 of the calcium in the pill is absorbed by you, which is to the good,
right?
Because the body absorbs what it needs and no more, no less. Sometimes less. Sometimes, for example, it's very hard sometimes to get people replete with magnesium, almost no matter what we do when we give people oral magnesium. It's very hard to get magnesium into the system because sometimes it just comes out and becomes a laxative. So, yes, we do measure before and after. But I will take issue with one thing, which is that this belief in the veracity of nutritional testing. Some people think, well, it should be a really easy matter of, you know, let's just check for everything under the sun. Let's check for vitamin B1, B2, B3, B5, B6. We'll just check everything under the sun, and there, you know, could be dozens or hundreds of things to check for. The problem is that a lot of people who are eating a standard diet, who may be taking a multi, will turn out normal on these tests. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they might not need some additional supplementation to, say, quash inflammation or to promote bone reaccumulation or
lower homocysteine.
Exactly. So it is really an art to do nutritional testing, and it ain't rocket science yet. There are actually some things that we're missing. Also some things that we'd like to do, but they're either cost prohibitive, could cost hundreds of dollars or more, or are simply not allowed because certain states, in particular New York is very bad about this, do not allow us to test for certain things that they consider, you know, sort of speculative. Yeah, you know, it's theoretical. It hasn't yet been proven to be of value. We know it to be of value, but the powers that be have determine that, oh, this could be a waste of insurance money. It's not in the public interest. So that's what we're up against. And we pick and choose. We select the things that we think are particularly important. And it varies from patient to patient. It's not one single panel. What I resist is the notion that every patient should have the same identical panel and that we have to test very frequently, because all we're going to do is we're going to come up with a lot of meaningless information. You know, the other expression, TMI, mm-hmm. too much information. We sometimes get too much information. It's confusing. You can't see the forest for the trees. And also we run up the patient's costs unnecessarily, which is a consideration. It really actually is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Michael, thank you for that very, very thoughtful question.
Indeed.
Okay. Oh, we've got a question from Teresa. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I always enjoy reading the Intelligent Medicine newsletter and hearing your radio program. You always make sense, and thank you.
Great.
Teresa writes, I'm a 66-year-old female. I was treated with radioactive iodine back in the 70s for Graves' disease, and then again when the Graves returned in April of 2014, I was treated again with radioactive iodine. And now what's happened is everything, even though my thyroid now is within range, I've developed a belly which I never had before. It was something out of a Tim Allen in the Santa Claus movie.
Oh, wow.
The doctor says it's part of aging.
Oh.
I don't buy it.
No.
Because
no.
My belly grew simultaneously after treatment. Mm. I'm in good shape and have always been. Oh, boy. Okay, she's 66.
Okay, and that's sad because she's only 3 years older than me. Listen, you know, I really take issue with these doctors who say, oh, you know, you have this, you have that. Yeah, that's part of aging. You know, just suck it up.
I don't buy it either.
Yeah, I mean, factually, there are things that do slow down, and one, you know, may get a little less, physically strong, and one may, you know, get a little less, shall we say, shredded. You know, that's the term that bodybuilders use, you know, that shredded, well-defined mm-hmm. muscle look that you have when, you know, you're a young athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But this notion that you're just going to get a big belly as you age, I mean, that's really bad medicine, bad science. So, look, what evidently has happened to this lady, and the clue is that she's had Graves' disease twice, and she had radioactive iodine, which killed her thyroid. Now she's on thyroid, but she's probably on an inappropriate dose, because that often happens.
Right.
You know, the tests are fine, and the doctor says, you know, you got a big belly, don't worry about it. Well, I wouldn't just give up at that. I would say, let's make sure that the thyroid is truly optimized. Let's consider natural thyroid as a way of optimizing thyroid. It would make such a difference. But it's not just about
thyroid. And Dr. Hoffman, I do have to say here, what other doctors call a thyroid panel to be within range, I know that you scrutinize it further.
Absolutely. And
so, you know, what's low of normal, what's high normal, anything like that, it all has to be scrutinized. You just do that so well. And I just really wonder about other doctors who are saying, no, this is in range, so you're fine, off you go. And it's not.
Right. So the other thing to be said, you know, somebody who has Hashimoto's has an autoimmune disease. And we know that autoimmune disease changes the body and makes the body much less forgiving about giving up fat. So I would also look at this person's body-wide inflammation. You know, just because you zap the thyroid doesn't mean it's taking care of the problem. There's other elements of autoimmunity that are associated with Graves' disease. I would also, you know, look at all the multiplicity of factors that make people gain weight. And, you know, when you have Graves' disease, it's almost like you're on speed. And when you go off speed, even with the same diet, you're going to gain weight. So it's very tough for people who've taken amphetamines or diet pills, or people who've been overdosed on thyroid pills overzealously, or who've had Graves' disease, which is hyperthyroidism, exothyroid, to maintain weight, except with the most strenuous efforts to restrict calories and to exercise. So this person's got some problems, and we don't even know what she's eating. We don't know whether she's in
We don't know resistant. What she's eating.
Yeah.
She's 66. She's probably taking in too many carbs. She says she's in good shape. She's always been. That's wonderful. But I that's the first place I would start, is taking a full diet history.
Yeah.
and maybe with some tweaks there, and looking again at a thyroid panel the way you would, Dr. Hoffman.
Right.
So
this week's article, by the way, is entitled Eight Reasons That It's Not Your Fault You're Fat. And it looks at some underlying problems that might not be obvious to you, you know, beyond just exercise and diet, that influence people's risk of obesity. So, you know, depending on
That's
the timing
true.
Of when you're listening to this podcast, it'll be either about to be released in our newsletter, or it will have already been released in our newsletter and published on our website at drhoffman.com. So take a look at that article, because it looks at some other factors that you may not suspect as subverting your weight loss efforts.
Right, right. Teresa, best of luck to you. You need a full consult so we can take care of you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What's next?
Oh, Dr. Hoffman, we've got a little bit of a rant here.
All right.
From Gail.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Gail says, hi, Layla. You and Dr. Hoffman do wonderful service for us all. Thank you for your time, sharing of your knowledge. Gail wants to know, why in the world would someone want or need to take as many supplements as Dr. Hoffman does when he's already eating a very clean diet and he's exercising all the time? It just seems so over the top and left me uncomfortable as to what a, quote, regular person should be doing for good health. First of all, for the average person,
I'm going to point you as my advocate in this, okay? Because I need a good lawyer. So defend me on this, please.
I will. First of all, Gail says, for the average person, supplements are extremely costly, could add considerably to one's monthly budget. Also, taking that many pills sounds like a full-time job, in my opinion, and would interfere with the enjoyment of just eating a pleasant meal. And lastly, there are people who can't or don't like to swallow pills. So, .. And what would be the three most important supplements to take? Thank you, from Gail.
So that's kind of funny.
Gail,
she says she rants against supplements, and then she says, which supplement should I take?
Yeah. Listen, Gail, let me just say, and if you read our newsletter at all, I already discussed the supplements that I take. And yes, they can be costly and add considerably to one's budget. But if you read the newsletter, I said specifically, this is in my budget. It's in my monthly budget, and it's right there next to groceries. I consider it as important as groceries. So there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a matter of priority.
Right.
Anyway, Dr. Hoffman, go on.
Yeah, no,
what
okay.
say you?
Well, okay, what say I? So, look, I mean, I get this person's perspective. And, you know, it's kind of like, how do you want your life to go down? What do you put your priorities on? You know, the type of demands that careful diet and exercise and making sure that your environment is clean and free of toxins and taking supplements.
Which is very hard to do.
Which is very hard to do. You know, so it.
Not only do we live in this world, but we live in New York. Okay.
Right. So, we don't want to make this a grim preoccupation. But I have to say that, you know, it's not just about extending life. It's also improving the quality of life. And,
yes.
You know, I know so many people who are my age and many of my patients who really don't enjoy good quality of life, perhaps because they have made less disciplined decisions about hedonistic pursuits or you know, I'm not going to characterize, you know, eating at nice restaurants and eating really delicious food as being utterly frivolous. But on the other hand, if the trade-off is that it's going to make you overweight, inflamed, or ill, you know, you may be reaping the consequences of a less careful lifestyle. So it's a trade-off for me. I mean, there's a certain amount of, yeah, there's a little bit of a pain in the A element to being careful about this, and it's not for everyone. Very few people are willing to undertake the economic sacrifices, the social sacrifices, but you know, I have a great life, and you know, when it comes to socializing, people understand, or I'm kind of low key about it. When it comes to eating, I enjoy the food, but I take the time to take my vitamins. Am I spending all my waking hours preparing vitamins. No, I once a week for about 20 minutes or so.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday, yep. You know, I'll turn on like 60 minutes or something like that. I'll array my supplements on the counter. I'll listen to the news and make my supplements for the week. I just don't think that's an inordinate sacrifice. Sometimes it, aggravates me a little bit. I got to make my supplements, it's kind of a pain. But, I don't think it's such a big deal. And I think health is not completely a merit system because sometimes you can be stricken with something out of the blue. I think that the dividends that you reap from this kind of behavior are great. So it's not about living to be, 120. It's about quality of life and being healthy and vibrant and mentally clear and able to make a contribution and even also enhancing, a lot of people say, well, I'm too busy to do all that. Well, if you're busy, it's because you're taking time for your family, you're taking time for your career. And one of the best ways to enhance your productivity is to take really good care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Some people, I'm too busy to sleep. Oh, we really are too busy to sleep? Well, if you don't sleep, you're going to be subject to problems that are really going to sideline you, and then, mm-hmm. Then you're really going to lose income and you're really going to, your family's going to suffer. So take really good care of yourself so that you can ultimately make more money, have a better career path. You won't have to retire at 59 because you developed a serious health condition. You'll be able to work well into your 70s and beyond.
Right.
I think
it's giving yourself the best possible chance at the place you are in your life, at the age you are in your life. And of course, Dr. Hoffman, you and I are experts in, we know our individual biochemistries, we know where we need to tweak, we know what we need to do. Sometimes it's a matter of we know too much, but we take care of it accordingly.
Right. And look,
of our patients and clients who come in, they're just fine. They've simply come to see us for optimization.
Right.
And that optimization includes a list of some really well-rounded supplements to keep them optimal, really.
Right.
Going forward.
Right. And so let's attack one more thing on that. And, I don't want to, mm-hmm. this is a well-meaning question and a sensible question, but we come back to the notion of, and it's a mantra that if you follow a healthy diet and you exercise, that's all you need to do.
Nope.
And to some extent, that is true. And we certainly don't want to denigrate the importance of a healthy diet and exercise. Some people who criticize vitamin takers say, oh, they just take vitamins as a shortcut because they're eating junk food and they're not exercising. Well, no.
Quite the contrary.
These are the people who are working on all facets of their lifestyle to improve their health and longevity. But this notion that, vitamins are just superfluous, just eat a healthy diet, that's wrong because you can use vitamins to a therapeutic purpose.
The other thing is the soil has been depleted. It's not the soil of 100, 150 years ago. It's depleted in very important minerals like selenium, for instance. So we're not getting the nutrition that we once used to in our plant foods, and adding at the very least a basic multi provides some kind of assurance that you're rounding it all out.
Mm-hmm. And then there's some people who have genetic issues. I mean, we're only beginning to scratch the surface of this, but a classic issue is the MTHFR that we now are testing for, where we find that people may need higher levels of folate, B12 and B6, for their metabolisms to function efficiently. Mm-hmm. And then this may just be the tip of the iceberg of genetic variations that may require higher levels. Vitamin D polymorphisms, for example, where people may require more vitamin D to achieve optimal health. In the Stone Age, when people were running around in the sun without clothes, but particularly darker-skinned individuals living in northern climes may require supplementation. These are just classic examples, omega-3 fatty acids to combat inflammation or to mm-hmm. augment diets which are much lower in omega-3 fatty acids than our native diets were, our so-called paleo diets. So,
right.
You know, so those are the issues, I think. And, you know, I get the argument, which is, why do all that stuff? You know, it's all superfluous and it's all speculative. But I think we can make reasonable guesses and based on the science to optimize our health prospects.
And it's becoming less and less speculative because we are entering the age of nutrigenomics, really, truly personalized nutrition based on our genes and the various polymorphisms, the various SNPs. So it's less and less speculation.
Indeed.
Yeah. And Gail, the three most important, let me tell you what I think, Dr. Hoffman, the three most
sure.
important supplements to take, a definite multi, like foundation formula. I would include a fish oil and I would include vitamin D.
Okay.
At the very, very, very least, these would be the three.
And,
what do you say, Dr. Hoffman?
And a close runner-up would be magnesium, but that's included
yes.
in the multi. That's included in the multi. But, you know, those, I agree with you that you have three or four things would be, that would be those. However, I like to include something called PhytoGuard because PhytoGuard is it's sort of a multi-nutraceutical that we really like. And it's something I formulated way back, I think, in the early 90s. And it's got lycopene, and it's got resveratrol, and it's got cabbage extract, and it's got curcumin, it's got pomegranate extract, it's got quercetin, and it's got EGCG from green tea. So it really is sort of a multifaceted nutraceutical chemopreventive. We call it, you know, it's like chemotherapy, it's like chemo prevention with certain beneficial substances before you develop disease. So I think there
you go. Gail, thank you for that terrific question.
It is good. It's a good question on which to conclude this episode of Intelligent Medicine.
Yeah.
Once again, we invite you to email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com, one word, radioprogram@AOL.com. We also invite you to shop at drhoffman.com for your supplement needs. Just click on the shop button, actually the store button, and there's a drop-down menu which will take you to our store, and you can learn about the many supplements that we talk about on this program. You can assure that you'll get the highest quality supplements at the very same time that you'll assure the continuity of this program, because we offer this program free, but we'd love to earn your loyalty as a customer at drhoffman.com. Thanks a lot for joining us today, Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
And just as a final note, our podcasts have been through the roof. In fact, so successful that some of you may have noticed we crashed our website over the weekend. That's not a bad time to crash your website. For a while, we had some issues, and it was just because of volume. We had to migrate some of our files to what's called a server farm, but I believe is in Ohio. I don't even know how they do this. But literally, there was just so much demand, peak demand, that we had to do some reconfiguring. And some of you noticed that your podcasts weren't loading properly. And at first I said, well, I sent email back to some people saying, oh, it must be your computer. Because I was like, okay, you know, shoot the messenger. But you were right. There was a problem. And we'll endeavor to keep our website functioning optimally. There should be no problems as we undertake an expansion of our capabilities to send you information. But thanks to our listeners, we had about 125,000 individual downloads in the month of February alone, and that was a short month. So that's very, very exciting. That's a record month for downloads. People are resonating to the message of Intelligent Medicine, and they're, you know, while it may seem to us like we're talking to the wind, there are a lot of people out there listening. So we appreciate very much your listenership, and we promise to bring you the highest quality programs, great guests, important information in future podcasts. So thanks to you, Layla, as well.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.